You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. Today's classic brought to you by Neutral Vodka Seltzer, made with real vodka, real seltzer, real juice. It's Neutral, the one with the umlaut. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. I'm Jay Eskeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this toots for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, who was giggling away for that cold open, Trey Kirby. And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super fart producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like the vid, comment away, and make sure you subscribe to No Dunks. Get any and all of your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And hey, this is big news. The NDCU, the No Dunks Cinematic Universe, expanded last night thanks to the premiere episode of JD and his wife Rachel's brand new pickle podcast called Pickleball Podcast. I mean, you put a bunch of pickles on the fucking graphic. It's... I'm going to accidentally say just pickles.
A little on the nose.
No dinks. We could have just put a bunch of dicks all over that graphic, too. And then with, like, I guess crossed out. Because it's called No Dinks.
Yeah.
And it dropped in the No Dunks podcast feed last night.
We got a big tournament coming up this weekend. MLP Daytona 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do it. So preview that. And, you know, we'll drop them in every once in a while. There's only five more events in the year, so it's probably going to be about five more podcasts. Okay. So just for funsies.
But you guys watch it every weekend.
Well, Rachel watches every week. I don't watch every week.
You go pod every weekend.
Oh, my God. PPA. Guess what? Ben Johns and Emily Waters won again. That's the pod.
Wow. What an upset with regards to the top five rankings, JD.
Right?
That was crazy to me. No spoilsies. But I will say I was pleased to see Rachel following along with the Classic Factory ethos and going for 10 names in her top five.
10 names.
Beautiful stuff.
Yeah, and number one, pure homer pick. Like, absolute homer pick.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
Yeah. We got a Lee back in the cinematic universe, a Lee Waters. She's 16.
That's right.
Best pickleballer out there.
No Dinks, the Pickleball Podcast. It's not easy to say
not
for
easy.
Me.
Yeah.
No Dinks, the Pickleball Podcast.
We also had a better...
like, the first response I saw was, is it April 1st? That was the first comment I saw when we shared this last night. It does, it has the vibe of a nice April Fool's
totally,
Day prank.
Totally.
But it's real.
It's real.
It's
real.
Glorious.
It's glad you did it.
Yeah. All right, we also have No Bunts. That lives in the NDCU. You just had a show. Minutes ago, it feels like. That one available over at the Athletic Baseball Show, the YouTube feeds and the podcast feeds. Tass talking to our guy, Joel McMillan, in Taiwan about this incredible World Baseball Classic final last night.
It was a great tournament. It may have not been a pickleball tournament, but it was a heck of a tournament. And Shohei showed out. There's some great little stories behind the scenes before the strikeout happened. So a really good, really fun tournament. Jolie loved it, so it was a good show.
All right, so check out No Bunts. We got No Buffs. That's our Survivor Recap podcast. That's coming tomorrow. That goes live at 1 p.m. Eastern with a special guest here in the factory, Survivor 43's Owen Knight is swinging by to talk about tonight's Survivor episode. And what else we got? Well, we got Is This Good with Matty O, JD, and special guests talking about what things in this big old world are in fact good. And we are re-releasing Fast Friends each weekend here on the feed as we get ready for Fast X. So what do we got? Tokyo Drift? Coming
that's
this
right,
weekend to your podcast.
No, feed. That's in the feed right now, Tokyo Drift, right?
Too fast, too furious.
Oh, you're right.
Too many podcasts. You're not going to be able to keep track.
I can't keep track.
Because I can't, and I have it all in front of me. No dinks, no bunts, no buffs. Is this good, Fast Friends? And of course, no dunks. And let's get into that because we have a new live show alert.
Ooh.
It's official. Finally. Thanks to our friends at Neutral, we are going to be live in Houston Monday, April 3rd for a live podcast. Yes, the day of the Final Four NCAA Men's Championship game. 6 p.m. local time there in Houston. Doors at 5. We're going to be downstairs at the White Oak Music Hall in Houston. Looks like a really nice venue.
Yeah.
And here's the best part, guys. Tickets are free. Neutral said, they're on us, baby. So you do have to go to the Ticketmaster link. No fees, though, included. Just to make sure that you're on the list. So you got to get your ticket, but it's not going to cost you a thing. So that link to the Ticketmaster live show for our Houston pod is there in the show notes. So come on out Monday, April 3rd in Houston. Doors at 5, show at 6.
Just in time to see the championship game after. So
that's right.
If you're a Houstonian, come. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're a Houstonian or a Texan, much like when we went to Salt Lake City, we need some kind of cultural things from Houston to talk about during the live show. We'll do an up-down report, of course. So, you know, we already know about Chopped and Screwed music.
Yep.
What else is there in Houston? Let us know. I know Destiny's Child. That's where they're from.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think I'm...
Shang Wang, I think, as well. Grew
is
up
he?
On the same street
oh,
as
huge Beyonce. Thumbs up.
Doesn't he say that in his special recently?
You're right. You're right. So, this, not an April Fool's joke at all, either. April 3rd, we're in Houston. I know it's coming together last second, but that's okay, because first off, the tickets are free, and then you can come hang with us there and watch a live podcast. Should be fun. So get your tickets. Okay, let's get into the actual show here. That was a lot of housekeeping. Apologies for that. Some sad news from the NBA world yesterday. Willis Reed, 2-time champion and basketball Hall of Famer, he passed away at the age of 80. For those youngins out there, he was the undersized center but emotional leader of the New York Knicks for a decade. They called him the captain, 5-time All-NBA selection, 7-time All-Star, winner of 2 Finals MVPs, and he was named the NBA's 1969-70 regular season MVP. That number 19 Reed jersey hangs in the Madison Square Garden rafters, but he probably is best remembered by that inspiring performance in Game 7 of the 1970 Finals, an iconic moment in sports.
And that moment still lives today, 53 years ago. There's a handful of moments that live on in NBA lore.
Mm-hmm.
That is clearly one of them, even if it was in black and white. Him coming out of the tunnel, his interview with Howard Cosell being emotional. So, thoughts to his family and to everybody who lived through that New York Knicks era. That was an incredible era, the last great era for the New York Knicks.
Championship era for sure.
That might be the greatest New York City sports moment of all time. It's definitely up there, and certainly the most iconic moment of Willis Reed's career, especially capping the end of his 1970 season where he became the first guy to win All-Star regular season and Finals MVP in the same year. Super impressive. Michael Jordan called him the most competitive player that he's ever seen, and Michael Jordan is the most competitive player most guys have seen. So pretty cool tributes from a lot of the NBA family yesterday. Thoughts and prayers to his family, no doubt.
Yeah. For those that don't know the story, for some reason, he had like a thigh muscle injury in Game 5 of that 70 Finals. This is Knicks-Lakers. He tumbles to the court in pain. He's forced to sit out Game 6. Wilt goes bonkers, drops 45-27 in an easy Lakers win in Game 6, forces that deciding Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. His status completely unknown, even to his teammates going into Game 7. They had no idea if Willis Reed's going to play. And they're both warming up, all the squads out there on the floor, and Reed comes out of the tunnel. And that's when we get a very young, you know, Marv Albert on the call. And here comes Willis, and the crowd is going wild. And then he starts the game, scores New York's first 2 baskets, and he's like limping up and down the floor. Only points he scores in the game, but he did manage to play like 27 minutes, and of course they win. He sort of energized the crowd, his teammates, and they pull out that Game 7 victory.
Scared Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
That's what they say in pregame. He's like, whoa, is he really going to play?
Right, right.
Shaking in his boots.
It's pretty crazy to think them winning the 70 Finals and the 73 Finals, the Knicks, with Willis Reed. Like, he prevented Jerry West from winning possibly 2 more and Wilt Chamberlain from possibly winning 2 more. Those were both against the Lakers. And then on top of that, the one Jerry West wins is in another Finals against the Knicks in a season that Willis Reed only played 11. He was injured for a majority of the season. That's crazy, just what if. You know, Jerry West, obviously considered one of the greatest of all time. Same with Wilt, but you throw more championships on those resumes, it's even like they're even higher in some people's minds. But because of Willis Reed and the Knicks, they get those too. So crazy stuff there in the early 70s. Yeah, sending our best to the Willis Reed family and the entire NBA community. Let's get into a little true or false. Yeah, we'll continue with sort of bad news here, because Clippers all-star Paul George left last night's loss to OKC late in the fourth quarter after suffering an apparent right leg injury. PG goes up for a rebound, his right knee collides with Lou Dort's leg, and then he lands very awkwardly, and it looks like he hyperextends his knee. He crumples to the floor there, you see, stayed down for several minutes. They finally get him off. He's seen left leaving the arena in a cart, right leg extended. I mean, this is gross, I know. Should have gave a little warning on that. You see that knee sort of going backwards. Clippers have not offered an update yet as of going live here around 10:15 a.m. Eastern time on the Wednesday. But the question, the true or false question off of this, Tass, after this PG leg injury, and fingers crossed it's not that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It looks bad. But true or false, Clippers have now zero chance of winning a title if this PG injury is as scary as it looks.
If it's severe, if he's not back this postseason, I would say they do not have a chance. Let's be completely honest. He's that good. And he looked pretty good in this game.
Yeah.
He threw down a couple dunks. It looked like old PG with the 360 dunk and one earlier. And then it looked pretty innocuous from the regular live broadcast camera angle, where you couldn't see that his knee went back, and then you saw the replay from the baseline cam where you're literally looking at the side of his leg. And it goes back because Lou Dort just happened to run into it because Paul George was sort of landing on one leg. It looks bad, but he is such a key piece. I know this team is extremely deep, and I talk about it that they can run out two units, but it's way different when you're relying on you're asking the best of so many guys on that team. You're asking Batum to be phenomenal now. You're asking up and down the roster guys to play at peak performance when you don't have Paul George. It's way different. They can't
so
get to that
chance.
Level.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I agree. If Paul George isn't as good as he looked in the first half last night, the Clippers do not stand a chance. They have a very deep team, but when it comes to actually winning championships, it's all about your stars playing well and showing up when it matters the most. Kawhi has ramped things up in the past couple of months. He's playing incredibly well. I agree. Paul George looked great last night. A 360 in a half-court set.
Yeah.
That's incredible. But to see him go down with just a really bad luck injury, like not a hard hit from Dort, just kind of in the wrong place to throw him off his balance and have a tough landing, kind of like the knee version of accidentally stepping on a guy's foot is really what that was. Yeah, bummer for LA to see Paul George go down like that and just a random sort of injury. But yeah, if he's not healthy, they're not going to win the championship.
Yeah, he had 18, 7, 5, and 3 steals in 35 minutes before he left the game there with the injury. He threw down the 360 in the half court. You don't see that often. But yeah, this is a devastating loss to the Clippers. They were playing really good basketball recently, too. They had won 5 of 6 before losing last night to the OKC. And here's PG. He only played 30 games or so last year because of the elbow injury. He had a knee injury earlier this season. Now this, what appears to be another knee injury. It's a bummer. I know they're getting Norman Powell back, I think, soon. Of course, that helps.
That
but
helps.
You can't replace PG both offensively, and then what he gives for them defensively, too. I mean, you can put Paul George a lot of the time on the better perimeter player on the other team, and he can at least sort of contain them. So this sucks. We'll wait to see how severe it is. Again, that didn't look good at all, especially with how long he was down and getting carted off and stuff like that once they got into the tunnel and then leaving the arena. Let's talk about the late-game defense from Lou Dort, though, on Kawhi Leonard. I know you saw that. A one-point game, basically the full shot clock to operate with. Ball's in Kawhi hands, in his hands, and Lou Dort just would refuse to be switched off of him, fighting over screens and just locking his ass up. And that was pretty impressive.
Absolutely. You don't usually see Kawhi sort of fade from his move. He didn't go straight up and straight down. He kind of faded, and he was pretty upset with himself. You don't see Kawhi mad quite often after a game. And it just seemed like Lou Dort took him out of his motion, took him out of his straight up and down move, his flow, changed it right there. And he apologized to everybody after the game that, you know, he kind of took the ball up, and you know, made it all about him on that play. But really, it was just an incredible defense.
Did he say he took too long?
I think he was upset with that as well.
They got the rebound with 21 seconds left. They tried to get the switch. It wasn't happening because solid defense by Dort. He was obviously right on him, but they kept trying to get the switch, And then it became Kawhi trying to create a good look with 3 seconds left. Yeah. That's tough against any defender, let alone a guy like Lou Dort. I think he just took too long trying to get the perfect matchup, wanting to attack Giddey. Should have just went right to the hoop or right into his mid-range jumper. He can get that over Dort, but... awesome by Dort to stick with him.
Oh, absolutely. Because they were trying to get like Giddey switched onto him. And yeah, Dort was fighting over tops of screens to stick with Kawhi out on the perimeter. Just overall in general too, like not even Kawhi, but the Clippers, like Lou, like shouldn't they just be going a lot earlier in that situation? You're down one with like, what'd you say? Like basically
20
when
seconds. They got the rebound with 21 seconds left.
That's a weird decision to like, in the end, wait to like go for the win right at the end. Because... you go 10 seconds left, you shoot and miss even, a contested shot, maybe you get the rebound, of course maybe the foul is called, maybe the Thunder grab the rebound, and then you foul them even, and you could still have a chance, they miss one, even if they hit both, you're down three. It's like, you sort of want to give yourself a couple bites at the apple, I think, in that. I got it, you got Kawhi, but being down one, tied, I get. You know, worst case, you go to overtime. Down one, I thought that was a little strange, but awesome, awesome defense, and a big win here from OKC. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, incredible again. Jalen Williams, incredible again. And Dort locking him up there at the end.
Yeah, Shea traded for Paul. Once upon a time, part of that package.
Jalen, too? Just,
right, yeah, part of that deal. That was a hell of a haul. So they obviously did well. Maybe just Kawhi's just upset because of his bro. Just couldn't get out of his mind. But the entire game, I thought they kind of played a little slow. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're sort of known for. But Ty Lue wanted them to speed it up a little bit. And Westbrook was great coming out of the gate. Maybe they're just happy they got up 18-4 in this game and then kind of laid off a little bit. But, yeah, just all I'm thinking about is this is year four for this run here with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They've only been healthy in the playoffs for one of them. And that was the first one, and that was the 3-1 comeback by the Denver Nuggets in the bubble. So it stinks. One of four seasons if Paul George isn't able to come back. Mm-hmm. And also, I know we've been talking about the refs, but the refs went too far.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that. Of course.
That was absurd. It was a little Scotty Barnes-like at first. You know, with Scotty Barnes' issue with Scott Foster, everybody wondering what the hell happened because Kawhi Leonard, end of the second quarter, simply clapped. And it wasn't even a clap. He says nothing. He got a tech. And Terrence Mann basically was speaking up for Kawhi, like, what is happening? Why are you giving him a tech? And got tossed immediately.
Yeah.
That was quick. The consistency is what players have a problem with.
Yeah.
And when you've got such quick whistles, a quick pull, you're ejected for talking, essentially. Like, Terrence Mann was upset, sure. But he wasn't. Two quick techs like that, that was a little much. I'm not going to say the referee's name because we don't need to know his name. But it was a young official making a young mistake.
Yeah, yeah, that was a rough one for Clippers fans.
Don't clap.
That was.
They're getting the. I mean, they are consistent with that. A referee hates to be clapped at. Yeah. Both Kawhi and Terrence Mann, they did a clap, just like Spencer Dinwiddie. He did a clap once upon a time. Deal with it. It's just clapping. Yeah. That's like a frustration thing. Yeah. Also, Kawhi Leonard 100% got fouled. That was guaranteed a foul on the reach, and I think it was Trey Mann grabbed his left arm, but Trey Mann weighs like 130 pounds, so it wasn't a problem for Kawhi. He finished right through it. He clapped, and then Terrence Mann said, hey, he just clapped. Then he got a tech. Then he said something that he shouldn't have said. Yeah. Then he got tossed. Yeah. But man, what's the big deal? It's just clapping. Just clapping.
Clap. Okay. Everybody loves to do it.
OKC is now in the seventh seed. This is wild. It goes Clippers, Warriors, 5-6, and then Thunder in the seventh spot, basically tied there with the Mavericks in the eighth seed, and then it's Wolves and Jazz a half game behind them, the Lakers and Pelicans a full game behind the Thunder and Mavericks. What a season for OKC here, and you know, all these games are playoff-like, and so this is a great experience for a lot of their young guys, and man, the way they've been playing over the last week or so, they're feeling like they are at least a play-in team and are going to have a chance to try and get in the playoffs. Good, good win from them last night. But yeah, obviously we'll find out probably later today from the Clippers about Paul George and the extent of that injury. Moving on, Donovan Mitchell had a couple highlight reel plays, part of a 31-point night in the Cavs' win over the Nets. Biggest was this fast break slam over Yuta Watanabe early in the fourth. Now he caught the replay back in the locker room And Mitchell was asked, you know, or told from his teammates, this may have been your best ever. Best dunk ever. And Mitchell said, it's up there. I don't know if it's my best one. It's definitely up there. Watanabe on the receiving end of this one. So true or false, last night's jam there on Watanabe, was that the best dunk of Donovan Mitchell's career, Trey Kirby?
I'm with Mitchell on this one. I think it's false, but I do think it's up there. I saw the NBA today posted a video. 56 minutes of Donovan Mitchell's best career dunks. 56 minutes.
That's a lot of dunks.
That's a lot of dunks.
Yeah.
This dunk is the thumbnail.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that SEO?
Yeah,
or maybe. Is that the best dunk? I don't know. To me, Utah Watanabe, Jakob Poeltl, these are kind of like entry-level posters. Once you dunk on them, then you can move up to the next level. So maybe that's why Donovan Mitchell doesn't think this is his best dunk. Most of his best ones, usually a wide-open lane. He's gotten a few decent bigs. JaVale McGee, Vucci Baby, Maxi Kleba are the biggest guys, basically, that he's dunked on. My personal pick, he's got a tip dunk against the Rockets in the playoffs where he, like, brings the ball in to the lane, shoots it, misses, grabs it off 2 feet and slams it down. Capella nearby. He almost dunked on Embiid, but Embiid really blocked the shot. Somehow it still went in. So I don't think it's necessarily number one from Donovan Mitchell, but, man, that was maybe the best dunk of this season.
Oh, it was big.
For any player. And, man, it, very similar, I thought, to the Anthony Edwards dunk on Utah Watanabe as well, the way he fights him off with the off arm and cocks it way back with the other one.
Yeah, Watanabe had that Anthony Edwards dunk in his head, I think, when Mitchell dunked on him, because he looked at him immediately. Usually you'd see a guy kind of walk away after getting dunked on like that, but he looks right at Mitchell. Yeah, two posters for Watanabe being on the wrong side of him, unfortunate. But he got back, turned it over, got back on defense because he went after it. But Mitchell's bag of 56 minutes, which is incredible. This is an edited clip. This isn't like a 56-minute, long clips there that the NBA put together. He's got a lot of dunks. That is a ton of them. A lot of them are, you know, the reach back monsters. Quite often on guys, they look similar. So I think the playoff one is different looking when you look at all of them. I like the JaVale one. It looks cool in the Utah in the 45.
That's the biggest colors. Guy he dunked on for sure.
Yeah.
That's the best body-to-body one.
It's pretty.
I forgot to grab it with this dunk last night, but there is an iconic photo. Like, a photographer got this one at the exact moment where he's at his apex, cocking this ball back, dunking on Utah Watanabe. It looks awesome. Always like a nice, you know, Getty image to pair with the dunk that's just captured perfectly. So that was huge. But I think you guys are right. And I think Mitchell's right. Not his best, but holy crap, it's on the short list. But also 56 minutes. I hate to be a Matt Austin about it, but let's edit that down. That's insane.
That's long.
You
man.
Don't need it that long. Like, you could excited. Have a tight 15 even, and that's very long. But
don't worry. There's tight 15s out there
for you.
As well. But I'm the same. I was like, I saw this dunk. I saw the question. I was like, all right, I gotta refresh myself. Best Donovan Mitchell dunks. 56 minutes. I gotta be to work in 56 minutes.
Yeah, that's too much, man. Because they do a lot of that. I notice the NBA on their YouTube page. It's like, you know, a Luka will hit a game winner. It'll be like an hour and 20 minutes of Luka's all game winners. You're like, oh my god, I don't need to see all of them. Tell me the top 10. Give me the best. Some parsing.
That's for people who have YouTube on in the background.
Just put it on.
Something for everybody.
Yeah,
there's
right.
probably 56 minutes cut down into 1 minute for a short.
Okay.
Okay. A dunk a second.
Huge dunk. Good win here by the Cavs. Nets made it close. Any thoughts on the actual game and Cleveland picking up this win? I think they play again on Thursday night, these two teams, Cavs and Nets. Cavs are basically locked into fourth place. I mean, it's getting pretty apparent that's where they're going to be. This is going to be their first playoff berth without LeBron James on their roster since 1998. So that's
Terrell
wild.
Brandon days.
Yeah. And the Nets are 2.5 back of the Knicks for fifth. And they're only half a game ahead of the Miami Heat there, who are in seventh.
Yeah, I don't think the Knicks are the team they need to be keeping tabs on here, because the Heat are coming and the Nets have lost four straight and they are really up and down. Like, for as much as we talk about the good games Mikal Bridges has, he'll also have a 9-for-20 where you're like, okay, he is struggling a little bit with the efficiency here. Quite likely Brooklyn ends up in the play-in tournament, I think.
From the other side, I like the Cavs and what they were doing around Mitchell and Garland. I thought they had some nice bounce. You could see why the Cavs were fine letting Kevin Love go. Evan Mobley's their backup center, and he got some minutes there as the starting center with Jared Allen out. eye contusion, Jared Allen back, and you could see with Garland and Mitchell handling the ball how well Evan Mobley is working off the ball. Beauty baseline cut, beauty alley-oops, just working off them so well, scoring the paint with the lefty hook. He was going one-on-one. He hit a three, and he showed when he was a center as a starter, he's getting physical. So that was just a really well-rounded win against a good Nets defense. Garland and Mitchell doing their thing. And Mitchell scoring 31. Garland, incredible chemistry with Mobley. And even if you had an Isaac Noscoro, you had enough from Allen and Caris LeVert. You could see the makeup of their win.
Caris LeVert is putting together a nice little stretch here for his season. He's averaging over 18 points per game on nearly 55% shooting over his last six. And he's having his best three-point shooting season of his career. Caris LeVert is right now. He's flirting with about 38% from deep, so good timing here. Yeah, I thought he was really solid. He's been really good for them over the last little bit. Final one. Jason Tatum scored 36. Celtics ended a long road trip on a high note, beating the Kings 132-109 last night. Boston bounced back from blowing that 19-point lead in Utah on Saturday by knocking off one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Beantown Boys won 4 of the 6 on their last real road trip here, being a lengthy one. So true or false, Task, get us started. That was the best the Celtics have looked in months last night.
Months.
In that victory. Yeah.
Months, many months. True for short term, because I forget everything beyond beyond a month. I'd say last month, of course, that they looked wonderful. And to me, it just shows you can just throw out some parts of the regular season with great teams. I know we always worry. We've worried about the Celtics multiple times, or thought about maybe they're back to that team at the beginning of last season where they're not consistent. The season's long, and I think they're totally fine. They, were just really, really well-rounded in this game. Simply put, I think they just there's worries. Like, is Malcolm Brogdon going to find his role again? Robert Williams, is he going to stay healthy? What's up with Tatum? Not a problem. I don't think.
You think they looked more like the Celtics that started this season last night there? Yeah. That offense humming along.
The Celtics that looked like November, December, January, February, really. They haven't looked good since the All-Star break, I guess. Yeah. But that's about it.
Okay. What'd you think, TK?
I will say the best they've looked in month.
Good.
1 month. Because they beat the 76ers in Philadelphia February 25th. That's the night that Joel Embiid hit the 75-footer, like a split second, a little too late.
Yeah.
They also beat the 76ers at home in early February. They hit 19 threes in that one. But this, I did think, was one of the better games that the Celtics have played, period, this season. They hit 18 threes and had 5 or 6 turnovers. I can't decide which one it is. Sometimes you're seeing 5.
I know.
Sometimes you're seeing 6. Nonetheless, 45 times they've hit 15 or more threes this season, but that's only the 8th time all year they've had single-digit turnovers. They also forced 14 turnovers from the Kings and won the rebounding battle against a really solid rebounding team.
Yep.
Nice to have Robert Williams back, but I just thought the Celtics did such a good job of touching the paint multiple times, every single possession, driving and kicking. Then the ball was pinging around the outside. They had a ton of assists, made a bunch of three-pointers, and then on the defensive end, they were switching everything, and it was definitely taking the Kings out of their actions, and they seemed to frustrate Domantas Sabonis a little bit, despite the fact he ended up with a triple-double. Once again, still turned the ball over quite a bit, and I heard Mo DeKeel talking on the Daily Ding earlier today that this is the kind of defense the Kings are going to see once it actually comes playoff time, so we'll see actually how they handle it once they're playing in the biggest games that any of these guys have ever played in. But nice stuff from the Celtics. They didn't let up. They didn't blow a lead, and they didn't botch it in the fourth quarter because they didn't really have to play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, for sure. I like this game as like a measuring stick for the Kings in a weird way, because both of these teams, the Celtics and Kings, this season, like, they'll play high-tempo games, right? We know that. Like, both teams last night shot better than 50% from the field, better from 40% from three. But the difference between these two squads is, one, the Boston Celtics can play some defense. They will slow you down. The Kings, I know they've had decent fourth quarters before in clutch situations where they finally get some stops, but overall, this is what they need to add here. Some timely defensive stretches, and you're going to win a ton of games. Not that they haven't, but like, you're going to win more and be considered like an actual championship contender, and that to me was like the huge difference maker here. Time Lord being back, really nice. You know, 21 minutes he played. You could see his impact. And then Tatum and Brown, both 36 and 27 respectively, those guys as stars. So good win there from the Celtics to end that long road trip. It was the final one, like I said. Now they go back, and they got a couple more road games, but a lot of them are left at home. as they get ready for the playoffs. Other three games last night, I'll chuck them at you. Trae Young scored 30. Hawks completed the sweep of the Pistons. Banchero scored 18 as the Magic beat the struggling Wizards by 10. And then Ingram scored 32 in three quarters. Pelicans topped the Spurs. Any notes on those three games involving, let's be honest, the Pistons, Wizards, and Spurs, some bad teams?
The Magic's record is getting pretty close to the Wizards' record after beating them.
That's true.
They've hit the 30-win benchmark. It's a solid number for a team that didn't have playoff aspirations coming to the season. You always, at the end of the season, want to see that number in the 30s rather than the 20s.
Yeah.
So a good one there in the Mo Wagner revenge game against his old team. The quick comments here. Pistons playing the Hawks. Hawks took care of business. A true basketball non-fight at the end of that one. Jaden Ivey.
This is some good nonsense here.
Yeah, the absolute definition of what people say basketball fights are.
Right.
Jaden Ivey shot. Shot clock was off. It's a blowout. It's over. And it seemed like it was over after the game, too, because no one really coming up to him, but John Collins kind of coming up to him. And
somebody's got to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
So weird. I mean, weird shot by Jaden Ivey, to be quite honest. Also weird how the game ended, but there was still time on the shot clock, even though the game clock had gone off, so nobody really knew if the game was finally over. You've got Trae Young saying, go away. Trae Young and DeAndre Hunter are like, go away, Ivy. Just go to your side of the court. Meanwhile, John Collins is walking up to confront him. His team won by 22. Who cares?
Yeah.
It was just complete nonsense. But shout out to the Hawks getting back to 500.
Yep.
Now they have a choice between winning or losing the next game.
That's right. So what, 26 in a row now?
Where they've been with on one game? Now, officially.
A 500.
Yeah, it was tied for first.
Oh, they were tied.
They were tied for first. And I think it's officially them now.
Wow. Way to go, Hawks. Yeah, back to 500. Any other thoughts? Ingram dominant there against the Spurs in a blowout.
Yeah, Ingram back to his old ways. He's got to be great these next few weeks if the Pels want to make the play-in tournament. He just has to step up and be him.
Mm-hmm.
So a good sign. He's a flow kind of player. If he's in his flow, then hopefully they can make it. Just quick comments. I liked Dwayne Casey's comment about trading away Sadiq Bey to the Atlanta Hawks, who they were playing. He said it was a tough decision for our organization. He's a beautiful person, beautiful man. And did all the right things. Beautiful person and a beautiful man. Love it. Jalen Duren sitting out of that game with cervical whiplash after being in a collision with Kevin Love. But it was called cervical whiplash.
Wow. You don't see that one.
You don't see that often.
He got blasted.
He just must have got hit. It's like, that's how I feel. Boxing out Trey Kirby. I mean, it's a lot.
Cervical whiplash.
Cervical whiplash. I think that's a technical term. And here's some sicko stuff.
Okay.
We're going a little deep here, but here I'm okay with it. Keegan Murray of the Sacramento Kings jumping back there, hit a three-pointer, gave him at least a three in 33 straight games.
Nice.
Tying the NBA rookie record. Have you seen this record? Did you see this record?
I only saw one of the names he tied.
Okay, so he tied two guys.
Okay. For rookies hitting a three in consecutive games.
Oh, that's right.
One I saw.
He's about to break the record.
It's a guy who maybe when all of your clothes are dirty, you need to do this.
I need to wash them.
Yep.
Slight play on that.
How do you wash them?
Where do you wash them? Yeah. Where do you store them?
Where do I store them?
Yeah, but it's a play on that.
A hamper.
A hamper, yeah.
Or a...
I wish you didn't give me these hints. I probably would have just got it thinking of basketball-wise.
It's a hard guy to think of.
Clothing-related hint. Yeah, it's hard to think of. Notable name.
I'm really struggling with another name for a hamper. I don't know why.
Call it a laundry basket.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those words. Mm-hmm.
A laundry basket.
Laundry shamit?
Yeah.
You guys, that's brutal. Okay.
All right, I don't remember the second one.
Second one you'll never get.
Okay, what year?
08. 08, 09.
08, 09.
And we'll never get it because...
Steve Novak?
No, I guess because... Sometimes it's hard thinking of international players as rookies, I suppose.
Oh, okay. That's a nice hint.
That's a hint. It's laying it out there for you. It's...
Any relation to a household task? Pablo Prigioni?
I got it.
08, 09, you said? Is that right? Rudy Fernandez?
Yeah. There you go.
Nice one.
Yeah! Made up for my laundry shamit.
There was a... No household task. But there was a sitcom that had the name House in it that had a character who had a tagline. House in it, Full House.
Yeah.
Tagline that had a word that's very similar to Rudy. Full House, tagline, very
similar. How Rudy?
Yeah, there you go. Could have got there.
How Rudy.
Cut it out with that joke.
All right, let's take a break, man. We need one. And when we come back, we're going to hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here's what I love about doing this show live. We mentioned Rudy Fernandez, and then the stream team just goes nuts, sharing Rudy Fernandez memories and how he was good at alley-oop layups and how he was in the dunk contest once.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously all those threes he made as a rookie. I love this stuff.
He won a contest to get in the contest.
That's right.
Yes, he did.
Did he beat NBA Westbrook?
NBA.com, yep.
Then didn't he wear a Fernando Martin jersey or something in the dunk contest? Yeah,
he was pretty good.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. I think did he do a behind the back toss?
Yeah, he's white.
Yeah, I did that dunk, huh?
Yeah,
dunk in our dunk contest.
You know what? Also, Rudy Fernandez did was when he was with the Portland Trail Blazers. He had this 3-pointers celebration.
Oh, early.
Yeah,
early adopter
with like the three goggles. I think they called it.
Mm.
Should bring that back. That was a cool one.
Rudy Fernandez
only played 4 years in the league, but obviously made a mark.
That's it.
It was short looking at that. Surprising. He went back to play in Europe. Surprising. Also, why we love doing this on this show is because we have stories of our own. Brent Berry, who was on our show, said Rudy Fernandez made him retire, essentially, because he was tired running around screens trying to guard Rudy Fernandez.
Too much
energy. A lot of work.
Yeah.
That's when he knew it was time to hang him up.
Let's hit the beach. A little beach stepping. It's been a while, but we are on the beach because it's the only place to read your emails and your tweets. And you guys were great at sending in a lot of these by way of Twitter yesterday. So our first one from Stetson Banks. Watching the NCAA tournament and the 1-and-1 free throws make things a little spicier when teams are fouling late in games trying to make a comeback. Would you be in favor of having 1-and-1 free throws in the NBA? Who wants to start this one? What do you think, Mr. Banks?
Mr. Banks. Stetson Banks, good luck in the upcoming NFL draft. my thoughts on this are, number one, less free throws is good.
Yes.
So this could certainly help with that, but I don't know how it would work because in the NCAA, they play halves, right? So they're counting free throws throughout the half, which I guess you get to 6 or 7, you're doing 1-and-1s, and then once you get over 10 or more, then you're shooting 2s.
Right.
I don't know how that would work for the NBA. Once you get to three fouls, you get to shoot a 1-1. That seems a little quick to me.
Right. It's almost then we're getting two more foul shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
I got into it earlier.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at. I think that this would lead to more hack-a-shack kind of fouling because you're putting a bad free throw shooter to the line, assuming maybe they'll miss the first one right away. But even if not, once you get to 10 fouls, you're like, fine, go shoot two free throws. Miss two of them. So I would rather G League it. One free throw for 2 points the first 46 minutes of the game, and then you're shooting regular free throws the last 2 minutes.
I was a fan of that, watching those G League games.
That's what I was totally going to go with. The G League, maybe it's for three quarters, maybe it's for the first 46 minutes, and then you got to go regular.
Yeah.
But I don't think you see a lot of hack-a-shack with that rule as opposed to the 1-1, which you could, because I don't think coaches are taking a chance with a guy going to the line for 2 points.
Right, right, right.
Because that increase the likelihood of 2 points versus 0 points. But it is fun just to watch one free throw. The game speeds up a lot when watching a G League.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot quicker.
Yeah. Now, there's no way that they would change. They would implement a rule for three quarters or 36 minutes. Or, sorry, 46 minutes and then change it, though.
They do that right now.
Yeah.
In the G League.
No, period. The NBA does that with, like, intentional fouling.
Oh, you're saying.
Yeah, I think they would.
Intentionally fouling. You'd think they'd have one type of free throw for a certain amount of minutes? Wow.
Yeah, just because,
Yeah.
You know, when you get down in the final couple minutes, when the game matters more in theory, you know, hit both your free throws. Yeah, I think they would. Mm. And I think that's why they're trying it in the G League and seeing how fast it speeds up the game, what impact it's having on the flow of everything, and then the deciding factor in the final 2 minutes, going back to normal, if you want to call it that. I like that. I mean, I hear what Banks is saying or Stetson's saying about, you know, in the college game, there is something nice about when teams are, like, trying to get back in a game and you have, like, that little window, like you said, where you just get the 1-1. Like, you got to hit that first one. And if they miss, then it allows that team that's trying to get back in the game a hell of an opportunity to try and chip away at a lead. So it does sort of work there until they get to that 10th foul to trigger, okay, you're just shooting both. But not in the NBA. I'm sort of with you on that.
NBA players are pretty good at drawing fouls these days. We're already seeing ridiculous free throw rates. I think Ziggy here is saying in the stream team that if they went to this, Giannis would shoot 30 free throws a game, and I think that's exactly what happened. You would much rather take your chances with Giannis shooting 65% at the line than him shooting, you know, 80% at the rim.
Yes. Next one. Your favorite team is relocating to a new city that's never had an NBA team, but its current city is also getting a brand new franchise. So, are you rooting for your old team in a new city or the new team in town? This is from MG. You got to wrap your head around this one, right?
Yeah.
So your favorite team,
let's make it
Atlanta.
Give us an example, sure.
Okay,
sure.
Make it Atlanta. Tass's favorite team, the Atlanta Hawks. They are relocating to St. Louis.
They're going back.
Sure, right, yes.
That's where they won their championship. Yeah. Oh, they might have some championship vibes. Their only championship in history.
The house that Bob Pettit built.
Okay, maybe that's not a good example because it should be maybe a place that's never had an NBA team. Okay, let's change it. The Atlanta Hawks.
Seattle.
Are moving to... they are moving to...
Kansas City.
Stratford, Ontario.
Calgary.
No, Stratford, Ontario. But its current city, this is the Hawks. You're getting a brand new franchise here. It's going to be the Atlanta...
Thrashers.
Yeah.
You guys are really going to make this even more confusing.
The Flames.
Are you rooting for that team that went to Stratford, Ontario, which was your Atlanta Hawks? Or are you cheering now for the team that is the Atlanta Thrashers / Flames?
Yeah, to make this even more convoluted, it's a little like what happened in Charlotte with the franchise coming in that was
a new franchise.
Yep. Versus, are you cheering for the Bobcats or can you go cheer for the Hornets? Yeah, who eventually became the Hornets. anyway, I'm going out of town. I'm going to the out-of-town team.
Okay.
Staying with my team.
Okay, so you're cheering for the...
I'm a loyalist.
For the jersey, like the mascot, the name of the actual particular NBA franchise.
You get
not the city
history.
As much.
Yes. The problem with the new team is that it's a new team. It's going to suck probably to start for a while.
Right.
But then, obviously,
huge
positive.
But you can go see them, in theory.
Yeah. Huge positive, and be there for the ride.
Okay, what are you doing?
It all depends on where you live. It really does, because if I'm in the current city, if I'm in Atlanta, and the Hawks move away and they get a new team, I'm cheering for the new team, because I'm here. But if it were the Chicago Bulls and they move to Stratford, Ontario, I would still be a Stratford Bulls fan,
Because you have the history.
Well, yeah. Because I got the history.
So that's, you're actually, the favorite team is the Chicago Bulls. It's not like the Hawks. Yeah, favorite team. Yeah exactly. Makes sense. Yeah.
But if I lived in Chicago and the Bulls moved away, I would just be a fan of the new team that came into Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the hypothetical here would be Vancouver getting a brand new franchise. Are people going to have, did they remain even Memphis Grizzlies fans, because the team goes there, mm-hmm. or are they going to be now the new Vancouver Vanguards? No, that's a little different because it feels like your team's stolen from you in a weird way.
Ripped.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough. What a question, MG.
Yeah, I saw some Cleveland Cavaliers fans looking sideways at Donovan Mitchell because he was wearing a Lamar Jackson jersey. Lamar Jackson plays for the Baltimore Ravens, who used to be the Cleveland Browns, and they were stolen away. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns have come back since.
Yes.
But we got a Cleveland guy wearing a jersey for a Baltimore Raven? That will not fly.
Yeah,
for some fans.
The tricky part of this is that relocating part. That means some billionaire took your damn team from your city, right?
Yep.
So you're going to be pissed at that particular person, that organization, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But then how quickly are you replacing it with a brand new franchise? How big's this window here? Is this like the team goes, are you going to do team like the next season, or is it 5, 10, 15 years? That's another part of the equation.
We should add another layer to this.
We've made this a lot deeper than it needed to be. No doubt. All right, next one here. TK, you get us started. What uniform/court combos are you most excited for a potential playoff matchup that we're going to see? This is from SlamFan.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Got me excited. Got me excited to look at the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are a couple of intriguing matchups. However, we would need the Chicago Bulls to win the play-in tournament for it to come to fruition. Because then, as of right now, Boston Celtics in the 2 seed, Chicago Bulls in the 7th seed.
It's a good one.
You're talking about two of the most classic uniforms in the NBA, as long as the Celtics don't wear their diamond armpit jerseys, which they wear a lot. Stick with the standard white and green or the green and white. Those are good to me. The Bulls will return the favor wearing their classic red and white or white and red.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Right.
I would also love to see a Timberwolves Jazz play-in game where they both wear their neon jerseys.
Oh, yellow and green.
Yellow and green. That'd be pretty wild.
Put
I don't
your
think
sunglasses
they would
on.
Be allowed to do that.
I
guess the Timberwolves would be the home team. Right now, since they're the 9 seed, the Jazz are the 10, so I guess they could wear their green ones and the Jazz could wear their black ones with like the bright yellow on it. That would be very intense looking.
Okay.
And the other thing that I noticed, too much blue in the Western Conference.
Go on.
Nuggets, Clippers, Warriors, Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Thunder, Mavs. Those are all teams that are primary blue jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up.
What color would you like to see more of?
Okay, well, honestly, I think the Nuggets need a rebrand. I think the Clippers need a rebrand. I think the Warriors need to drop their little neckline sort of thing, but jerseys are fine. Thunder obviously need a rebrand. Mavs need a rebrand.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So
yeah.
I would change it up. I mean, okay. When I think blue teams, I guess the Mavs are the only team I really think of as a blue team there. I don't know.
Even when you said Grizzlies, I was like... blue, and I'm like, yeah, I guess it's a different type of blue.
They got two blues.
They got the baby blue and then the navy blue.
Navy
right?
And Beale Street. Yep.
Yeah, the Nuggets have their blue. Do the Clippers still wear their blue jerseys?
Paul George was wearing one last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, because they have a lot of black, but they are blue too. Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
Just blew myself. Do you have a favorite potential matchup, Tash?
Well, I guess I was thinking about Willis Reed and thinking about Madison Square Garden because I was thinking classic. I was thinking... the Cavs could walk in there as a 4-5 into Madison Square wearing a little bit of blue, just a tiny bit of blue, their land jerseys, their city edition jerseys, which are white, and you often see teams wearing white on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And those would stand out there, the white and gold, I think, with the Knicks wearing blue, probably.
Okay. Let's hear from everybody on
classics.
That one. Potential playoff matchups, uniform, court combos. Who is the best court in the league? Maybe even alternate court if you want to get funky with it.
Well, that was actually on my list. Like, 76ers and the Nets could play each other. And they both could like go for similar looking jerseys.
Oh yeah, like 70s, 80s style. Like, yeah,
I would say 60s and 70s even further back. But yeah, if they commit to wearing their Americana jerseys, it might be confusing, but it would look nice on that plain floor.
That would. Yep. That would. That very minimalistic Sixers floor for sure. And the Nets do have that one too. All right, final one. Who's on your flashbang pop team? Okay. Guys who showed a flash of brilliance that for whatever reason stopped with a bang, but popped again later in their career. My examples, D. Rose after his injury, or Melo after changing his mindset. Turn up, love you guys, awesome. That's from Chad the Dead. I've never heard of the Flash Bang Pop team. I thought the bang part's a little weird.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, stopping with a bang? You don't really say that, do you? I stopped with a bang. Bang, I think more of like
stopped
a...
Stopped with a bang.
Starting, I think, more than...
Snap, crackle, pop. Just go Rice Krispies. The crackle in the middle, to me, is good. The bang is too much.
Yeah.
Like the flash.
So instead of flashbang pop, you just want snap, crackle, pop.
Yeah, I think so. Because what we're looking at is...
Now I'm hungry.
The beginning and the end to be big, right? You want a lull. I think snap, crackle, pop. Crackle's... It's a crackle. But snap... Okay. Snap and... Anyways. Or flash, crackle, pop.
Who do you got?
Julius Randle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He had a double.
One.
He had a flash, bang, pop, bang, pop. Because he had two lulls in his career. He went, he got up high. He started well, lull, most improved, lull, back. He's back to being awesome. So I think that's the current one that's super
good.
It's
a good one.
Yeah, he went from 21 points a game down to 19, up to 24, down to 20, up to 25 this year. It's nice, I think.
I agree with you. What do you got, Trey?
I had Randle on my list as well. That's a he's had a crazy career.
Yeah.
He played 14 minutes his rookie season. Remember, got hurt,
yeah, hurt
right
yeah.
away. Then looked like a journeyman, like Tass is saying. So he's kind of done it twice and then sped run it the second time. Mm-hmm. all in the course of three seasons. We got the full flashbang pop. A couple of other ones that I think are good. Serge Ibaka.
It's a good
one. Early defensive player of the year candidate playing with the Thunder, led the league in blocks a couple of times, had that half season with Orlando, then he got traded to the Raptors. Raptors fans were not even the happiest with Serge Ibaka early in his Raptors tenure, but then was key when they won the title and has remade himself as a guy who will cook you up a bull penis if he wants to. Another guy I got is Sean Livingston, who came into the league as a lottery pick, struggled his rookie year, looked like he was putting it together, really highly recruited out of high school, suffered the injury, which was one of the grossest injuries you will ever see. Mm-hmm. Took him a while to get back to the NBA. Once he finally did, it kind of just became the story like, wow, look how cool it is that this guy is back doing anything in the NBA. Eventually, though, he became an instrumental reserve for the Warriors and won three titles with them as one of their vet dudes coming off the bench, hitting little pull-up 12-foot jumpers over anybody who's shorter than him.
Great one. Good question, Chad the Dad. Let's hear from you guys in the stream team. Everybody listening later, tweet at us at NoDunksInc or leave your comments there under today's show on YouTube. The Flash Bang Pop or the Flash Crackle Pop or the Snap Crackle Pop. Hot, then not, then hot again. Tell us who we missed. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, pick 'em results and a very fun tweet of the night.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
OKC, they were dogs in LA last night playing the Clippers. And they won outright. That Lou Dort defense at the end. The Dortcher chamber, as they say. Locking up Kawhi. I backed OKC. Had some points to play with. hit the win. I'm 7-8. You guys had the Clips. Task 4-11. Trey falls to 9-6. So we're all over the map here in this month of March. What's tonight's game?
The Suns at the Lakers. Some purple, some gold, some purple and gold. We'll see what happens in Phoenix tonight there. Or, I'm sorry, in Los Angeles tonight. Phoenix going in as a 1.5-point favorite. So basically, a pick 'em there, Tess and Trey. We got the Suns. Skeezy got the Lakers at home.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Weird line. Bit of a strange line, I thought, with the Lakers almost in a straight-up pick 'em with the Suns. Suns are reeling a little bit.
Yeah, that's
why. These are big games for all these teams, especially the Lakers.
Suns have lost 4 or 5, but the Lakers... Yeah, every single one is important, but which Lakers show up? Mm-hmm. Which one? We shall see.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Trey Kirby, what do you got for us?
Got a good one, Skeets. This tweet comes to us from Front Office Sports at FOS on Twitter. News. After more than 20 years, Slam Ball is officially returning in July with a 6-week regular season and 1-week playoff in Vegas. Oh, Slam Ball is back!
You love to see it.
Honestly, I can't believe how excited people were for this. You said it in the office, the factory, sorry, yesterday, after the show. Hyped. Sent the message to our Slack. Jerome said, we might have to stay in Vegas after Summer League. I got multiple texts in group chats. People fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Murph slid through.
Oh, wow.
Big Smooth slid through. Oh, we were watching it back in the day, back when... The Mob were winning championships. Back when the Bouncers, the Rumble, the Slashers, the Ombres, and the Maulers were throwing down. Yeah, I've seen a Diablos game. I've seen a Steel game. The Bandits, the Riders. Who can forget these classic team names? My question for you guys. I'm guessing they're just going to relaunch this with the exact same team names, because why not?
They should.
Exactly.
They should.
Who are you going to cheer for?
Because part of it's the nostalgia factor. I mean,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then sell the merch, and people are going to be rocking Bandit jerseys or whatever.
Rocking Bandit jerseys.
Yeah.
The last six teams that were around were the Bouncers, Mob, Rumble, Slashers, Ombres, and Maulers. Who do you think you're going to go for?
It's been a long time. I feel like Rumble were green. Were they green and black? Whatever the green and black team is, I got a feeling it was Rumble, but I'm going for them.
I forget which one was green and black.
So.
I looked at them all earlier today. I know the Mob is red and black, so that's what I'm going to pull for.
Okay, that's red and black.
You said
okay.
Who?
I think it was...
Rumble's green and silver.
Oh, green and silver?
There you go.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
nice.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going
Rumble
for that.
What kind of colors do you like?
Yeah, colors, yeah. That's what we're looking
pretty much.
The Bandits are orange, I think. Orange-ish.
Bouncers, I'm seeing blue and orange. Slashers. Oh, Slashers was a white and red. There was a really weird one. Yellow and black, coached by Kenny Anderson. That's the Ombres. They used to be the Diablos.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then the Maulers. They don't have a Wikipedia page. That's sad.
Is Mason Gordon still playing?
Mason Gordon?
The guy that invented the game, I think?
The creator of Slam Ball himself?
Yeah. He must be old now.
Yeah, he must be old. He was looking like he was in O-Town in 1999. So you add another 20 years... How old is too old to play?
How old is
slam ball
inventor?
It's described as a combination of trampolines, basketball, and football.
Football.
I guess that's right.
It's true. You forget about the football part.
Oh, yeah. It's physical.
You can straight out lay out a guy when he's running up there.
Yeah, I see some of the captions here on photos from Slam Ball calling it a confrontation.
Ooh.
When a player tries to block another player. Confrontation between Rob Wilson and Kevin Cassidy. I think they got to go basketball lingo.
What?
Get the football out of it. It's more basketball than football.
Yes.
They've got a hoop. So sell it that way, I think.
I saw people wondering, is the game of slam ball going to be different because we have all these three-point shooters? People just going to be chucking from 40 feet, just trying to splash it. But then somebody wondered, could you goaltend in slam ball? Like, could I just jump up on the trampoline and knock your shot away?
You should.
Yeah, it would obviously deter you from shooting 40-footers because I could just keep jumping up.
I don't remember the rules.
Yeah, I don't either. My gut says there was no goaltending. In a game where you could lay out guys in midair and on the ground, that'd be a weird little rule to have.
I don't see anything about goaltending, I'm guessing it's there. So here are some great scoring rules, though.
Okay.
And Mason Gordon is involved still.
Well, yeah.
Is he playing? Oh, no
I don't know
way.
If he's played. If he's playing, but he's somehow involved because he made an announcement that he's coming back.
Okay.
And that's what it is. A successful score can be worth 2 points if the ball is thrown through the hoop without the offensive player touching the hoop. Slam dunks, however, are worth 3 points.
Oh, touching the rim. Okay, okay, okay.
All shots outside the three-point arc, also 3 points.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're encouraging confrontations.
They did sometimes shoot threes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The shooter. The slam ball shooter.
Wow.
Wow.
Who could it be?
The old heads are going to love this. No three-point shooting. Need it. Yeah, just go after it. Hombres. Bandits.
Jerome in our Slack channel right now said, slam ball is a sport where load management would be reasonable. It's a good point.
Got to agree.
Very physical taxing. Physically taxing, but... then again, it's only 6 weeks long and 1 week of playoffs.
Only 6 weeks long, 1 week of playoffs. That sounds like 7 podcasts for the summer.
Yeah, that's what people
slam
also
ball
want.
Updates.
So what's the podcast called? No slams? No jumps? No bounce? No confrontations? No Diablos?
No dribbling? Do they dribble?
No Mason Gordon?
Do they dribble?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they dribble.
Yeah, because there is... Yeah. Court in between the trams.
That's highlights. The weirdest thing, the court part.
I think that was always to me the coolest looking part. I always wanted to like dribble down a portion of the court and then like, yeah. Then they leap in obviously under the tramps and try and dunk. I call them tramps for short. You know?
No tramps.
No tramps. Sure. Throw it in the mix.
Yeah.
I'm definitely, pumped.
Definitely
I'm
worth doing
pumped.
In the summer.
I'll definitely be watching. Yes. This, at least to see what they. Change and the team names and
oh,
yeah,
the vicious
new rules.
Injuries.
I went to a fan-controlled football game here in Atlanta, and it was fine. You know, I'm not the biggest football fan. Checked it out, but like this, hell yeah, I'm watching this. I'm hoping we might be in Vegas during summer league. When
if it's the right timing, I would partake in a slam ball match. Goaltending is legal if the shot attempt is from inside the tramp area.
Oh wow! So you can't goaltend 3-point shots. Because those were inside the three-point area.
That's a hack right there, Skeets.
I'm telling you, these young kids are going to change the game of slam ball. It's never going to be sad. There's going to be no slamming.
Man, that's going to be sad if slam ball is the latest to go the money ball route.
Yeah.
Oh, man, these three-pointers are killing slam ball.
There's no confrontations anymore. Back in my day, we used to confront guys left and right in the air.
Oh, I love it. Also, yeah. Coach Carter was one of the coaches. What? Coach Carter.
Oh, Samuel
Coach
L. Jackson?
Ken Carter. No, it's it looks like all professional athletes and also Coach Carter.
So they must be doing tryouts pretty soon for this, I assume.
Thinking about getting one out there?
Honestly? Yeah. I'm pretty wily in the air, man.
Pretty wily in the air. This man's wily.
Like slink around people in midair. Tort my body Derrick Rose style. All right, that's exciting news. Are you as pumped as we are that slam ball will be back in our lives this summer? And do you want us to do a podcast series on this? I mean, God, we're doing a pickleball podcast. Of course we're going to do a slam ball podcast.
Duh. It's basketball after all.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, let's call it there. We will be back tomorrow. Live at 10 a.m. Eastern here from the Classic Factory for a little No Dunks, breaking down a lot of tonight's games. There's a lot of games on, some potential guys coming back, obviously, to the lineup tonight. John Morant, maybe. Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, maybe, I'm not sure. But we'll be breaking all of it down here tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern, Owen Knight from Survivor 43 here in the factory to talk about tonight's episode 4 of Survivor 44. Can't wait. That was a lot of numbers, but I think I got it right.
You did.
He was on 43, tonight's episode 4. Yep. We're talking about Survivor 44. All right. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Eastern, though, here from the Classic Factory. Until then, Clipper Bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, there's a lot of sports out there. A lot of them. We talk about them all.
Brace the day, people.